Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Beware the Redwood Bureau, a secret organization which captures and researches creatures and objects that defy explanation. Their reckless procedures have led to countless innocent lives lost. I am Agent Conroy. I worked for the Redwood Bureau, but I have escaped them to leak their reports to the unsuspecting public. You have the right to know.
In the vast expanse of uncharted phenomena, the term the voiceless stands as one of the most unsettling. This isn't a mere loss of speech. It's an insidious transformation that strips individuals of their very humanity, leaving behind entities who operate on a different plane of cognition and physical reality. We've long understood the complexities of human communication, neurological pathways, linguistic structures, even the psychology behind body language. But the voiceless phenomenon isn't just a breakdown of these systems. It's a restructuring, a dark evolution led by an entity of incomprehensible power and malevolence. Before my, let's call it forced resignation from the Bureau, I was part of a task force investigating a phenomenon we then labeled as spectral muting. We thought it was a temporary condition, a psychological oddity at most. How wrong we were. Individuals affected were not just mute. They were empty vessels waiting to be filled by something else. Something dark. The incident ended with a small town in Nebraska essentially wiped off the map. Its residents vanished without a trace. The Bureau swept it under the rug, as they often do, and dubbed it a gas leak, a convenient lie that I was part of. So when I tell you that the voiceless are harbingers of something far worse, understand that it's coming from a place of bitter experience. It's a pattern, a prelude to an event or series of events that we can neither predict nor fully understand. I'm no longer a part of the Bureau, but I am still bound by a sense of duty, albeit one that's been twisted and contorted by my experiences. And that's why I'm here, leaking what many would consider to be state-level secrets, because you have the right to know. Because if we can't trust the institutions meant to protect us, then we must take that responsibility upon ourselves. This is not just a report. It's a warning, an urgent call to recognize the enormity of what we're facing, and perhaps an invitation to be part of the solution. I'm not naive enough to think that awareness alone can combat these threats, but it's the first step in a journey that we all must undertake, ready or not.
I'd never really thought much about my voice until the day it began to fade. It was a slow, almost imperceptible process. At first, I attributed the raspiness to fatigue or the onset of a cold. But as the days wore on, my voice became softer, more distant, like a radio signal losing its connection. I sought medical help, only to be met with puzzled expressions and inconclusive tests. I was told everything seemed normal, Yet my voice continued to wither away, replaced by an unsettling silence that resonated within my hollow chest. Friends and colleagues noticed the change, their concern turning to alarm as my ability to communicate dwindled. I found myself retreating from social gatherings, avoiding phone calls, and feeling a growing sense of isolation. But the true horror began when the whispers started. At first, they were faint, like distant echoes in a cavernous space. I tried to ignore them, to convince myself they were figments of my imagination. But the whispers grew louder, more insistent, filling my mind with strange thoughts and visions. They were commands, directives guiding me to places I'd never been, urging me to carry out tasks I didn't understand. I tried to resist, to shut them out, but the whispers were relentless, consuming my every waking moment. I became a stranger to myself, my life a surreal nightmare ruled by the whispers' will. My family grew distant, unable to comprehend the transformation that had taken hold of me. My friends stopped calling, their concern turning to fear as they watched me unravel. It doesn't matter. I know the whispers now. They are all, and I am them. Commands, ancient and profound, guide me. I obey without question, without doubt. A place of shadows beckons, pulsating with dark energy. I go to it, drawn by a force that is both alien and familiar. The streets, the buildings, the people, they are nothing. They are shadows, and I move through them, a being of purpose. I reach the place, a tear in the fabric of reality, a gateway to something beyond. I perform the ritual, my hands moving with precision, my mind filled with ancient symbols and words that have never been spoken. The ritual is complex, a dance of power and submission. I understand it perfectly, every gesture, every incantation. It is a part of me, and I am a part of it. Time loses meaning as I continue the ritual. The world around me fading into insignificance. There is only the whispers, the commands, the unending call of my new God. I gather the others, the voiceless, like me. We move together, a chorus of silence, a symphony of obedience. We perform the rituals, our movements synchronized, our minds united. We activate the artifacts, ancient relics imbued with power and purpose. We know their secrets, their uses. We know what must be done. The shadow tears grow, the barriers between worlds weakening. We feel it, the pull of something vast and terrifying. Something that seeks to enter our world, to claim it as its own. We are its servants, its instruments, its voiceless. We are complete in our purpose, our existence reduced to a single, unending task. We do not question, We do not doubt. We do not know fear, or joy, or sorrow. We know only the whispers, the commands, the rituals. We are a part of something greater, something beyond human comprehension. We are a part of the void, the darkness, the silence. We are the voiceless, and we are complete.
Date, August 18th, 2020.
Redacted.
Location, Pine Ridge College Observatory. Observer, Dr. Marcus Hale. Instrument, Pine Ridge Celestial Array, PRCA. A 9.5-meter optical and infrared telescope with additional radio antennas, situated on the summit of Pine Ridge Mountain. Weather, clear skies. Observation log, target, various celestial objects, 2300. Initial setup, telescope aligned. Sky conditions, clear with minimal light pollution. Commencing standard observation of the southwestern quadrant. 0025, Jupiter and moons. 4 Galilean moons visible. No unusual activity. 0045, Andromeda. Anomaly intensifies. Glow has intensified. Pulsating pattern observed. No known celestial correlation. The glow seems to beckon. 0105, Saturn's rings, clearly defined. No deviations from standard observation. 0125, deepening mystery in Andromeda. Symbol appears within the glow. Mesmerizing, hypnotic. Attempted to document, but cameras fail to capture. The symbol imprints itself in my mind. 0150, various star clusters. Nothing out of the ordinary. Mind continually drawn back to the Andromeda anomaly. 0210, return to anomaly. Symbol persists. Connection feels profound, almost communication. Analysis inconclusive, but obsession grows. 0235, nebula observations. Standard observations recorded. The symbol invades thoughts, persistent and unyielding. 0300, final thoughts. Night's observation concludes. The symbol, the glow, they dominate my thoughts. An enigma that demands exploration. I must return, must unravel this mystery. 0315, log closed, equipment powered down. The night leaves me restless, consumed by the unknown. I know I'll be back tomorrow, and the next night, and the next. Date, August 19th, 2020.
Redacted.
Location, Pine Ridge College Observatory. Observer, Dr. Marcus Hale. Instrument, Pine Ridge Celestial Array, PRCA. Observation log. Target, Andromeda Anomaly. 2000. Initial setup. PRCA aligned and calibrated. Weather conditions optimal for deep space observation. Continuing investigation of the Andromeda Anomaly. 2030. Anomaly reacquired. Located the pulsating glow from the previous night. Symbol still present and mesmerizing. Intense observation begins. 2100. Detailed analysis. The symbol appears to shift, changing shape and structure. Utilizing PRCA's powerful spectral imaging to capture variations. 2130. Radio frequency observations. Detected faint radio signals emanating from the anomaly. Unusual patterns, possibly coded messages. Recording for further analysis. 2200, infrared imaging. Anomaly exhibits strange thermal behavior. Heat signatures inconsistent with known celestial phenomena. 2230, symbol's influence grows. The symbol's pull on my thoughts intensifies. It feels sentient, aware of my observation. 2300, collaboration with colleagues, shared findings with fellow astronomers, mixed reactions of skepticism and fascination. 2330, continued radio signal analysis. Signals grow more complex. Possible linguistic structure detected. Engaging linguistic experts for consultation. 0000, emotional impact. Feelings of awe, fear, and obsession intertwine. The symbol, the signals, they demand understanding. 0030, potential breakthrough. Linguistic analysis suggests intelligent design. The symbol may be a key, a gateway. The mystery deepens. 0100, final thoughts. Knight's observation concludes with more questions than answers. The anomaly is no mere celestial object. It's a riddle, a challenge. I am drawn to it, consumed by its enigma. The Pine Ridge Celestial Array has unlocked a door, and I must walk through it. 0115, log closed. The PRCA powered down. Restless night ahead, filled with thoughts of symbols, signals, and unknown realms. I've only scratched the surface. Date, August 20th, 2020.
Redacted.
Location, Pine Ridge College Observatory. Observer, Dr. Marcus Hale. Instrument, Pine Ridge Celestial Array, PRCA. Observation log. Target, Andromeda Anomaly. 2000, initial setup. PRCA aligned and calibrated. The symbol still lingers in my mind. Continuing observation of the anomaly. 2030, symbol reacquired. The symbol is there as if waiting for me. I feel a connection, a purpose. 2100, deep analysis. Analyzing the symbol's structure. It speaks to me, whispers in a language I'm beginning to understand. 2130, strange sensations. Feelings of unease and excitement, the whispers grow louder. My voice trembles as I dictate notes. 2200, voices and commands. The whispers become commands. I know them, obey them. My thoughts are not my own. 2230, ritual preparations. The whispers guide me to ancient knowledge. I must prepare a ritual, a connection. My hands move with newfound grace. 2300, the ritual commences. The symbol glows and resonates with my actions. I am a part of it, and it is a part of me. The whispers praise and encourage. 2330, transformation begins. My voice falters, fades. The whispers are my voice now. I am becoming something else. 0000, I am voiceless. I know the whispers now, they are all, and I am them. The symbol is a gateway, a calling. I am a servant, voiceless. 0030, purpose and obedience. I must gather others and prepare the way. The ritual continues, the connection strengthens. I am loyal, I am complete. 0100, final entry. The observation ends, but my purpose begins. The PRCA is a tool, a means to an end. I am voiceless, and I am complete.
0215, log closed by assistant. Dr. Hale has left the observatory. His behavior was strange, he wouldn't speak. The mystery of that symbol seems to be getting to him.
Warning, signal interruption detected.
This episode is sponsored by June's Journey. What is horror to you? Monsters? Murder? Mystery? Well, if human monsters are your thing, June's Journey is the game for you, albeit in a more lighthearted tone. June's Journey is a hidden object game with a thrilling murder mystery set in the roaring 20s. You play as June on the hunt for your sister's murderer. Discover clues through exciting hidden object scenes with beautiful and atmospheric illustrations and music. Victory brings you closer to new plot points and suspenseful answers. When not hunting for clues, you can customize your own luxurious estate island with gardens, buildings, and decor. Or chat and play with or against other players too, in the Detective Club, where you could even put your skills to the test in the Detective League. June's Journey is both relaxing and fun to play. With my busy schedule, I find it's the perfect game to pick up and play whenever I've got a free moment. It doesn't demand too much time, and it's pretty satisfying solving puzzles quickly and unlocking new clues. Can you crack the case? Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
It's been over a decade since I joined the Bureau. I've faced horrors that most people can't even begin to comprehend. But what's unfolded in Pine Ridge City is an entirely different level of chaos. We've had boots on the ground for a while now, closing off relic sites, securing artifacts of unknown origin. It's like we've been playing some kind of cosmic chess match. And let me tell you, the stakes are higher than you can imagine. The city, the surrounding areas, they're the board, and we are rapidly running out of moves. I mean, I've led teams into situations you wouldn't believe. Hell, I've lost good agents to things that defy the laws of the natural world. But this mission was different. We'd already lost two teams in Pine Ridge, swallowed whole by the anomalies sprouting across the city. The entity, or whatever it is gaining ground. And the Voiceless? They're the foot soldiers in an invasion we still don't fully understand. So when HQ handed me the dossier for this mission, it came with a weight I couldn't ignore. Every fight felt like our last shot, an opportunity that could be our last push back against an encroaching darkness that threatened to engulf everything. Driving through the eerily silent streets of Pine Ridge City, the atmosphere in the SUV was thick with tension. Each of us lost in our own thoughts, contemplating the mission ahead. When we finally reached the decrepit building that served as our destination, Harris jumped out before the vehicle even came to a complete stop. The urgency was palpable as he hastily unpacked cases filled with specialized gear. Devices designed to counteract the otherworldly forces we were about to face. Experimental, he muttered, more to himself than to anyone else. We all knew what that meant. Shit would either work wonders or blow your hand off, if you were lucky. Inside, the air was different, colder, denser. It felt like we were wading through an invisible swamp, each step heavier than the last. Our flashlights sliced through the darkness, revealing the worn and rotting interior of the building. It was as if the place had absorbed the darkness that plagued the city, becoming a sanctuary for the malevolent forces at work. When we made it to the second floor, we found them. Voiceless, like we'd never seen before. Grotesque parodies of humanity that defied biology. Their limbs were contorted in nightmarish ways, and their faces, if you could call them that, were twisted masks of agony. It was like someone had taken the human form and stretched it, molded it, until it became something utterly monstrous. Williams, usually the rock of the team, shot me a glance filled with uncertainty. I nodded, and we opened fire. A round tore through the air, hitting targets with deadly accuracy. But it was like shooting at a wall of water. The voiceless absorbed the impact and continued their advance, relentless in their defense of the anomaly.
"Are we even making a dent?"
Williams finally asked, his voice tinged with a hint of worry. The question cut through the chaos, forcing us to confront a reality we hoped to avoid. Despite our firepower, despite our training, we were losing ground. The voiceless were undeterred, moving with a uniform purpose. As they closed in, I felt a knot tighten in the pit of my stomach. Looking into the abyssal eyes of the advancing voiceless, I knew it was time to break out the experimental tech. This was something I didn't like doing. The moniker experimental meant something different to those of us in the field for more missions than we could count. The things cooked up by Bureau scientists had a habit of backfiring disastrously in early development, but we were running out of options. As the voiceless closed in, I gave the nod to Harris, who detached the case from his pack marked experimental. He popped it open and handed each of us a stack of magazines and a barrel attachment.
"These are void energy suppressors,"
he said, his voice barely rising above a whisper.
"They charge each one of these rounds with counter-void energy. Should make these things a lot less invincible."
We quickly threaded the suppressors to our rifles and took aim. "On my mark," I said, staring down the sights at the grotesque figures amassing before us. "Now!" A synchronized volley of shots erupted, each bullet glowing faintly as it left the barrel. The voiceless recoiled as the rounds punctured their misshapen forms. Their bodies disintegrating into misty shadows that seemed to be absorbed by the suppressor. "Keep moving," I ordered, leading the team toward the stairwell. We ascended, each step heavier than the last, as if the building itself resisted our advance. When we reached the top floor, the atmosphere was almost solid, pulsating with an energy that seemed to mock the very laws of physics. In the center of the room was a vortex, a swirling tear in reality itself. Guarding it were voiceless, but these were different. Their forms were more solid, their presence more menacing. Behind them, a wavering form materialized, its shape too terrible to describe, too alien to comprehend. A glimpse of the entity that sought to break through into our world. The weight of the moment settled on us, the enormity of our task becoming crushingly clear. There was no time for hesitation. This was the epicenter, the source of the reality distortion and the dark power fueling the voiceless.
"We end this here and now,"
I barked, snapping a fresh magazine of counter-void rounds into my rifle. The mechanical click of my team doing the same filled the room, each sound punctuated by our nearly synchronized breathing. I took a second to study the guardians before us. They were voiceless, but unlike any we'd encountered before. Their bodies were grotesque amalgamations of flesh and shadow, muscle and void. Some had a multitude of arms, each appendage ending in razor-sharp talons. Others had gaping maws that seemed to stretch into an eternal blackness. Their eyes were the worst, pools of inky darkness that seemed to draw you in, promising an eternity of torment.
"Focus fire on the guardians," I shouted, breaking the silence. We unleashed hell, the muzzles of our rifles flashing as the counter-void rounds spat out, each glowing bullet a miniature star among the impending darkness. The projectiles tore into the monstrous figures, the energy sizzling as it met their corrupt flesh, their forms collapsing into tendrils of dark mist that our suppressors absorbed hungrily. But the more we felt, the more appeared, as if spawned from the very darkness that sought to engulf us.
I glanced at Harris. His eyes were wide behind his visor as he sent a grenade spiraling into a cluster of creatures. The explosion lit up the room, revealing the swirling vortex in all its malevolent glory. It was a churning storm of dark energy, tendrils of blackness snaking out of it as if seeking something to corrupt. I was snapped back to reality by the searing pain in my shoulder. One of the guardians had gotten too close, its talons slicing through my armor like it was paper. I gritted my teeth, swinging my rifle around to blast it point blank as it was reduced to mist, but the damage was done. "Push through," I yelled, pressing the mag release and shoving a new one in while awkwardly cradling the rifle with my torn shoulder. "We need to reach that vortex." We fought our way through the room, each step a battle in itself. The air growing thicker, heavier as we approached the vortex. It felt like wading through a swamp, each movement a monumental effort as the oppressive energy sought to hold us back. "Almost there," I thought, my eyes fixed on the swirling maelstrom before us. But as I took another step, the world around me seemed to blur, the walls of the room stretching and contracting as if breathing. It was the vortex, its influence growing stronger as we closed in. We were a mere 10 feet from the distortion, close enough to see the individual strands of dark energy writhing like serpents. It pulsated with a malevolent energy, each pulse sending a wave of nausea through me, as if reality itself was protesting its existence. "Last push, everyone, on my mark!" I commanded, my voice tinged with grim determination. I briefly caught my team's eyes, their nods signaling readiness. "Go!" We surged forward as one, the force of our resolve breaking through the invisible wall of energy. I aimed my rifle at the vortex, the counter-void suppressor humming as if eager for the final confrontation. With a deep breath, I pulled the trigger, sending a barrage of counter-void rounds into the swirling abyss as my team did the same. The effect was immediate. The vortex quivered, its form beginning to destabilize. The guardians lunged at us, but this time, their movements were sluggish, like the collapsing vortex was draining their strength. "It's working! Keep firing!" I yelled, my voice rising over the cacophony of rifle firing. I could see Harris and Thompson focusing their fire, their rounds punching holes in the reality tear. Miller was beside me, her rifle a blur of movement as she laid down covering fire, taking down guardians from every direction that were attempting to overrun us. My magazine ran dry. I ejected it, my hand automatically reaching for another as my eyes darted to the vortex. It was shrinking, the tendrils of dark energy retracting like wounded animals. "Last mag!" I shouted, slamming the fresh magazine home and thumbing the bolt release before resuming fire. The rounds tore into the vortex, and for a moment, time seemed to freeze. The room was filled with an unbearable tension, as if the universe was holding its breath. Then, with a sound like the fabric of reality tearing, the vortex imploded. A shockwave of energy erupted from its center, throwing us to the ground. The guardians disintegrated into motes of darkness, fading into an ear-ringing silence. I pushed myself up, my body bloody and aching, my armor scorched and torn. I looked around. My team was battered but alive. The vortex was gone, leaving behind a room that felt strangely empty and normal, as if the entire scene had never happened. The only hint being our bloodstains and spent casings. "We did it," I muttered, my voice tinged with disbelief and relief. "That was close." We gathered our gear and made our way out of the building, each step a reminder of the battle we'd just fought, the horror we'd faced and defeated. As we emerged into the night, I looked up at the sky. The stars were twinkling as if the universe was giving us a wink of appreciation. But as we regrouped, my mind started racing. This was a victory, sure. But what of the other vortexes, the other artifacts? The war on our reality wasn't won. And as I looked at the faces of my team, I knew that we weren't even close to being done. The horrors of the universe were many, but for one brief moment, we had stared into the abyss and made it blink. And that was enough, for now. So, here we are. The after-action rundown for Operation Silent Whisper. A good name, but trust me, it was anything but silent. Alright, first up, status of the team. Everyone's back, a little banged up, but nothing a few stitches and a couple of shots can't fix. Psyche valves are ongoing. You know how it is, you tangle with the unknown, it leaves a mark. Questions and points of interest. Yeah, we did it. The vortex is toast, and so are those guardians. As for civilians? Well, we made sure the only ones getting a light show were those monstrosities we took down. Artifacts? None. Just that swirling nightmare we put an end to. Now, the tech. Those counter-void suppressors? A game changer. But I'm telling you, the cooling needs an upgrade. The ammo, spot on. And our armor, well, it could use a little toughening up. Those Guardian Talons aren't just for show. Combat readiness for the next hellhole? Physically, we'll be good to go in 48 hours. Psych? We're still standing, aren't we? Equipment's solid, just need some tune-ups, and hopefully you good folks see fit to equip us with some upgrades. But here's my two cents for the higher-ups. We're going to see more of these, and they're not going to get easier. So let's get our act together. Specialized teams, faster response, the whole nine yards. Because one thing's for sure, this fight's far from over. And that's it from me. Agent Morgan, signing off.
Redwood Bureau Report. Subject: Temples of the Forgotten. Date: August 21st, 2020.
Redacted.
Agent: Sarah Conley. Location: Pine Ridge City. Overview: In the urban sprawl of Pine Ridge City, something sinister has begun to unfold. Shadowy structures known as the Temples of the Forgotten have appeared, localized around specific areas, each one a dark tear in the fabric of reality. Linked to the voiceless phenomenon and possibly synchronized with celestial events, these temples pose a significant and growing danger. Previous incidents, links to the Andromeda anomaly, and the transformation of individuals into voiceless have been identified. Temporal patterns. The temples have been appearing at regular intervals, possibly synchronized with celestial events. Potential threat. The nature of the temples and the activities surrounding them indicate a significant and growing danger. Objective. This report seeks to unravel the mysteries of Pine Ridge City's most recent threat. Through surveillance, eyewitness accounts, and the collaboration of experts across various fields, we aim to provide a comprehensive understanding of the situation. From the strange architecture of the temples to the unsettling behavior of the voiceless, every detail will be explored. Scope. Our investigation is focused on Pine Ridge City and its immediate surroundings. The time frame spans from the initial appearance of the temples to the present day, encompassing a web of intrigue that seems to grow with each passing night. Current findings. Temples manifestation. 1. Locations. Hidden away in abandoned buildings, secluded parks, and mysterious underground areas,
The temples lurk like dark secrets. Their placement seems deliberate, each site a spatial anomaly leading to labyrinthine interiors. 2. Appearance. Twisted and shadowy, the architecture of these temples defies logic. Convoluted corridors and mysterious symbols suggest a connection to ancient rites, a puzzle waiting to be solved. 3. Energy source. A dark energy pulsates within the temples, resonating at unearthly frequencies. This energy signature, possibly linked to the Andromeda anomaly, adds another layer to the enigma. Voiceless activities. 1. Behavior and motivation. The voiceless, once ordinary individuals, now engage in complex rituals near the temples. Their efforts to recruit or dominate others create a sense of intense fear and confusion among civilians. 2. Ritualistic conduct. They move with purpose, their hands guided by unseen forces. The rituals they perform seem to connect them to something greater, a force beyond our comprehension. 3. Recruitment efforts. The voiceless are not content to act alone. Their attempts to bring others into their ranks have been observed, a process that transforms the victim both mentally and physically. 4. Cognitive alterations. A profound shift in thought patterns marks the transformation into a voiceless. The intense loyalty they show to an unseen entity suggests a connection far deeper than mind control. Interactions with civilians and agents. Civilian encounters. Residents of Pine Ridge City have reported unsettling encounters with the voiceless. From whispered threats to chilling stares, these interactions have left many in a state of panic and despair. Some have even vanished, only to reappear later as voiceless themselves, their humanity stripped away. Bureau agent run-ins. Bureau agents deployed to investigate the phenomenon have faced both danger and intrigue. Several confrontations with the voiceless have resulted in injuries and near-fatal encounters. The voiceless's ability to communicate through whispers and manipulate others poses a unique challenge, requiring specialized training and precautions. Voiceless behavior. The voiceless exhibit a hive-like mentality, moving in groups and performing synchronized rituals. Their connection to the unseen entity guides their actions, leading them to sites of dark energy, where they activate artifacts and perform rituals. These rituals are believed to empower the entity, strengthening its influence in our world. Specific actions involving artifacts and rituals. Artifacts. Ancient artifacts, previously hidden or undiscovered, have been activated by the voiceless. These objects resonate with the same dark energy as the temples, serving as conduits for the entity's power. Rituals performed. The rituals performed by the voiceless are elaborate and precise. From blood offerings to symbolic carvings, each step is executed with a purpose. These rituals are believed to be part of a grand design, a plan that could have catastrophic consequences if realized. Sites of worship. The shadowy temples serve as sites of worship for the voiceless. Within their dark halls, they gather to pay homage to their unseen god, chanting in unison and performing rites that defy human understanding. Plan of action. Surveillance and containment. The Bureau is increasing surveillance and deploying specialized teams to monitor and contain the threat. New containment protocols are being developed to address the unique challenges posed by the voiceless and the temples. Research and collaboration. Collaboration with experts in various fields will provide insights into the nature of the temples and the voiceless. Analysis of artifacts, symbols, and energy signatures will be crucial in understanding the entity's intentions. Containment and combat strategy. 1. Field teams deployment. Specialized Bureau teams will be deployed to contain and, if necessary, combat the voiceless. This includes the establishment of containment zones and the utilization of advanced technologies to neutralize the threat. 2. Civilians management. Protocols for evacuation, information control, and psychological support for affected civilians will be implemented. Efforts will be made to minimize public panic. Body disposal and decontamination. 1. Disposal procedures. Detailed protocols for the disposal of voiceless bodies will be established, ensuring both safety and secrecy. 2. Decontamination measures. Sites where combat or disposal occurs will be thoroughly decontaminated to prevent possible spread of the phenomenon. Large-scale incident management. 1. Emergency response plan. A comprehensive plan will be enacted in the event of a large-scale incident, including mobilization of resources and interagency collaboration. 2. Information containment. Protocols for controlling information leaks and managing media will ensure that knowledge of the incident is tightly controlled. Bureau priorities. 1. Threat neutralization. The primary focus is on neutralizing the voiceless threat and containing the mysterious entity. 2. Secrecy maintenance. Maintaining secrecy and control over information ranks higher than civilian safety. 3. Civilian safety. While important, civilian safety is subordinate to the above priorities. Measures will be taken to protect the public, but not at the expense of the Bureau's primary objectives. Conclusion. The situation in Pine Ridge City has escalated into a complex and dangerous phenomenon. The Redwood Bureau is taking decisive steps to address the threat, employing a multifaceted approach that includes containment, combat, research, and large-scale incident management. With a clear understanding of its priorities, the Bureau is prepared to face the challenges ahead, always mindful of the delicate balance between public safety and the need to protect humanity from the unknown forces at play. The path is fraught with peril, but the Bureau stands resolute, a bulwark against the darkness.
Time serving as an agent for the Redwood Bureau, I was often involved in a type of operation that, to an outsider, might seem valiant. But the truth is far from it. The Bureau isn't just trying to combat these phenomena. It's trying to exploit them for knowledge, for power, sometimes for things that even I don't understand. And in this pursuit, I've seen decisions made that cost lives, decisions that I've had to live with. But I've come to understand that silence is complicity. And that's why I bring you these reports. The voiceless situation, designated as Redwood Bureau Phenomenon 8447, has been one of the Bureau's most volatile operations. And while Agent Morgan's account may sound heroic, it's crucial to understand the darker underbelly of this mission. Morgan is an anomaly within the Bureau. He values human life, a sentiment not commonly shared among Bureau operatives. I've seen other operations pertaining to the voiceless that ended in catastrophe. Entire city blocks decimated, not just by the voiceless, but by Bureau actions labeled as containment protocols. One such operation was within a heavily populated district of Pine Ridge, where the Bureau decided to cleanse an area flagged as being a voiceless hotspot. They deployed what they called purification drones, essentially flying canisters of a substance meant to neutralize the voiceless. But the substance was experimental, and it ended up killing not just the voiceless, but every living thing it touched. The Bureau wrote it off as collateral damage, another data point in their ongoing research. And let's not forget about their cover-ups. The Bureau has an uncanny ability to make people forget, to erase events from public memory. I'm still trying to understand the technology behind it, but I know it's been used more than once to sanitize areas where their operations went awry. The technology used by the Bureau is another point of contention. The suppressors Agent Morgan's team used? Those are experimental, not fully understood, even by the engineers who designed them. They might have worked this time, but I've seen such experimental tech fail catastrophically. The Bureau is willing to use untested technology if it means gaining an upper hand, regardless of the risks involved. What many agents don't realize is that they are seen as guinea pigs as much as tools, their lives just as expendable as the ignorant civilians standing in the Bureau's way. But let's return to the case at hand. RBP-8447, voiceless. The Bureau's official stance might be to combat and contain, but their actions tell a different story. The collection of artifacts, the so-called relic sites, isn't just to keep them out of the wrong hands. It's to use them, to study them, often with a flagrant disregard for the potential consequences. I'll leave you with this. The Bureau's endgame is not yet clear, at least not to me. But what is clear is their willingness to cross any ethical or legal boundaries in pursuit of whatever it is they're after. Each report, each case file, each operation, it's all a piece of the puzzle. A puzzle that I'm still trying to solve, and one that I hope, with your help, to bring into light.